And now, Geneva, dear, if you would come up, and I know you talked at the first conference that they had here, and if you'd come up and share with us, we'd be grateful.
Made the first step.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you, Bob. Hello, everybody. I am Geneva, a recovering alcoholic. And I tell you for sure, I didn't come to Springfield to talk. I came to listen. But Betty asked me, and I couldn't say no. I think she's a hard act to follow. But I'll do my very best. You see, I heard about this meeting through Wally Patton. He wrote me a letter and he sent me a flyer. I was going to stay in Indiana for another month because my son-in-law was not well. But when Wally sent that flyer, I knew, God willing, and the creek didn't rise, I was going to be in Springfield. And here I am. Talk.
As long as you want.
Well, my friends down here can verify I'm a talker. if it's about AA, when Betty told her story, I didn't know that there was anybody else. And that was a good Sunday school worker and went to church. I was a bedroom drinker. Berbelius, if there's anybody here from Kansas City, they know Berbelius Liquor Store. In those days, they delivered. I have two daughters, and as they went out of the house of the morning to school, I could hear the door close downstairs, and I would turn over in bed and call Carl. And all I would say, Carl, I need a quart. And he would deliver it to the back door because he knew when I got over a drunk, I'd be there to pay the bill. And after I had been in AA a month, well, I had gone to... By this time, they had quit delivering because of the war situation. And I had gone in a taxi cab to get a bottle one day. And I was so bad that Carl had to open the bottle and take me in the back room so I could take a drink to get home. And I know how bad I looked because I'd get out of bed and put a belt around my nightgown and put on my fur coat and tie a scarf over my head because I didn't have time to comb my hair. I had to get to the liquor store. And after I'd been in AA about a month, I was in the bank one day and Carl was at another window and he kept looking at me. And finally he stepped over and he said, "You are Geneva, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "My God, what happened to you?" I said, "Well, when I get through here, I'll tell you." When I got through doing my business, I went over to Carl and he said, "We have been watching the papers for a month for your obituary. We knew you weren't going to make it." And I said, "Well, I've joined Alcoholics Anonymous." He said, "You don't look like the same woman." I said, "I don't feel like the same woman." He said, "Would you mind going up to the liquor store with me and let the boys see you?" I said, "No, I'd be delighted." And I went into the liquor store, and sure enough, the other two boys didn't know me. He had to introduce me. Because, you see, in that month's time, a month of being sober, just one day at a time, I did look different. I was clean. I didn't have my nightgown on, and I didn't have that scarf around my head. I had begun to clean up outside and inside. As I listened to Wally talk this morning, it certainly brought back the early days of AA to me. I was one of the speakers. Charlie Miller and I were the speakers at your first anniversary. I don't know what hotel it was, but I do know it was in the basement of some place. And there were not very many members, and we all went out to Jean and Cecil's house and had refreshments, had a wonderful time. And this is the first time I've been back since, but I'm delighted to be here. I could not remember Jean's name. Now, my friends from Joplin know that I only associate with married men. They're the safest. But when Jean and Cecil got a divorce, he moved to Forsyth, Missouri, and opened a restaurant. By that time, I had married a man in AA. I'd gone through a lot of trouble. My husband had divorced me, and I didn't know it. And I had to go down to Texas and have the divorce set aside. And did have a little trouble for a year because he married again. And he had two wives. And so anyway, after I thought about Jean and Cecil, I had been in AA for some time when I met Fred. He'd been in 4 or 5 years, and we were married. And we went down to Forsyth, Missouri on a vacation that summer. And we went into this restaurant to eat, and who should we run into but Cecil Martin? And as Wally talked about it today, he was in Forsyth for several years, and the next time I heard from Cecil, you see, I went into AA in Kansas City, Missouri. I forgot to tell you that. Cecil came to Kansas City, and there was a hospital at Smithville. I don't know how far it is, not very far north of Kansas City. He became superintendent of the hospital. Well, by that time, I'd found a lot of other married men to run around with, so I really don't know what happened to Cecil. But as I listened to Betty talk this morning and tell her story, I knew exactly how she felt. You see, Charlie Miller was my sponsor, and he had a great deal to do with this group in Springfield, as he did in all the groups in Missouri, because Charlie was the best sponsor in the world. He sure wasn't a yes man. I'd call him to talk to him, and I'd ask him about something, and he'd say, "Do you want me to tell you what you want to hear? Or do you want me to tell you what you really should hear?" And of course, I'd be very mad for a few minutes. But I wanted to stay sober. I wanted to grow. I wanted to know more about this program. And I would say, "All right, Charlie, tell me what I ought to hear." I had not been in AA very long, and I had to go to Chicago on business. And when I got to Chicago, got off of the train, the secretary of the Chicago group was there meeting me. And I thought, well, how strange. And then I realized that Charlie thought I was going to Chicago to get on the drunk. And he called the secretary of the Chicago group to meet me and take me to a meeting. So you see, the love that goes from one AA to another. I went to that meeting that night, and I sat there, and I heard a 65-year-old woman get up to talk. And she said, I have to qualify myself. And I thought, well, what are you talking about? She talked about her grandchildren, how long she'd been sober. And I thought, oh, God, I'll never do that. Here I stand today at almost 91 years old. I have 18 grandchildren. I have 37 great-grandchildren. And I don't mind sharing my story at all. And you know the reason? There might be just one person here that I could help. You know, we never are the head honcho, and we'll never be the last honcho, because our responsibility, besides staying sober, is to pass it on to help somebody else. I have never in my life found such love as I have found in AA. This summer, my telephone rang, and it was Jody, and he wanted to bring a man over to Joplin to interview me. And I thought that was real funny, that anybody would want to interview me. And he brought Wally over, and I got to meet him. And Wally, you don't know this, but I tell you, when you took a picture of my house and sent it to me, I was delighted, because so many people in Indianapolis, where I spent 3 months, kept asking me if I lived in a nursing home. And when you sent that picture, I took it to every AA meeting so I could show people that I lived in a house. Last summer, at the summer hummer that we had the last week in August, I met Dr. Bob's son. When I knew he was coming, I could hardly wait to meet him. Well, I didn't know he was married, but I fell in love with him. And that's another reason that I wanted to be here. And then yesterday, I had a delightful telephone call from Bob's wife. You see, I don't know why all the wives trust me so. But she called me from Oklahoma City and was on the phone and wondering if I was going to be in Springfield. And I told her I sure was. So I fell in love with Betty. Now, I have a sponsor in Joplin. I have to talk about George. And George is married, too. But he's the kind of fella, he doesn't live very, well, he says he lives 4 minutes from my house. But he's the kind of fella that comes over, and if my flowers need watering, before he even comes in to say hello, he waters my flowers. And he takes me to the grocery store. And I had to go to the hospital, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago. And my oldest granddaughter, I couldn't get hold of, and I couldn't get hold of my next-door neighbor, so I called George. And he was there and took me to the hospital. Well, you know, you have to fill out these forms. And George sat down beside me while this nurse was taking this information. And she looked over and she said, is this your husband? George said, no, I'm married, and I'm very much in love with my wife. But he said, I'm also in love with this girl. You can imagine what the nurse thought. But he went right on into the treatment center with me. I have a granddaughter who's head of George? Anesthesiology. You see, I have to depend on him for everything. And the nurse asked me who's next of kin. And I told her, and she said, well, she's up in the operating room now, but she'll be down. Well, there George sat on one side of me, and the nurses were working on me. And the things that he said, he really kept the nurses laughing. But they fixed me up, and Cly came downstairs, and I introduced George to her. And she didn't quite know who George was, because the next day after I got home, she had heard so much slack from the nurses about that man that was with her grandmother that she wanted to know who he was. But I can truly say that he is my friend, that he's there. And I bet every one of you have that kind of friend. Now, you know the only way I have made this program. I celebrated 51 years last Tuesday night, January the 5th. But you know the only way I made it was one day at a time. Charlie told me when he came to see me, he said, can you stay sober for 24 hours? And I said, my goodness, as sick as I am, yes, I sure can. He said, do you believe in a higher power? And immediately I thought, it's an off-brand church. You see, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Southern Baptist, and I was born and reared in Texas. And I said, well, I believe in God, but I said the things that I've been doing lately, I don't think God has much time for me. You see, I had called AA, and he smiled, and he said, well, I think he's working right now. And I told him about my two teenage daughters that had told me they wish I'd go ahead and drink myself to death and get out of their lives. You know, I didn't blame them, because I felt so bad every time I sobered up. He said, well, let me go upstairs and talk to them. And he did. He went upstairs and talked to them. And they came downstairs with Charlie, and they said, Mother, we'll support you for 30 days if you go into AA. I want to tell you that that was the biggest relief in my life, because I'd been trying to find ways to stop drinking. I'd even gone to other churches, thinking maybe I could get help there. I had no trouble. Wally talked about Winona S. She came with Charlie that afternoon. And she said, I'm going home and get something that will help you sleep tonight. And she went home and brought back some bromides for me to take. Charlie said, now, about 30 minutes before you go to bed, take this bromide, take a warm bath, and you'll be able to sleep. Because I had not turned the lights off in my bedroom for 6 months. Anytime I turned the light out, Hairless Joe was over, staring down at me. Well, I moved 8 years ago. It's where I am now. And that bromide I still had, but it was crumbling and I threw it away. This was on a Sunday afternoon that Charlie and Manana came to see me. I went to my first meeting on a Tuesday night, and it took that long for me to get my hair shampooed, to get a bath, and to feel like that I could be presentable. I went to that first meeting and I sat on my hands because I was about to fly away. And there were 18 men and another woman besides Winona there. This man got up to talk, and he began talking about all the jails he'd been in. And all the sanitariums, and I said, oh my God, this is not for me. And he ran his hands through his hair, and I thought, there was Hairless Joe again. And I went into hysterics. And Charlie took me out in the kitchen. And I said, oh, Charlie, I had decided to join, and now you won't take me. And he said, kiddo, you're in. And for 51 wonderful years, sure, I've had problems. I've had lots of problems. God didn't promise us a rose garden, but he did promise us that he'd be with us. And God has been with me all the time. I lost my precious younger daughter 8 years ago. And I thought I'd never be able to smile again. And I kept saying to my older daughter, why did they take her and not me? And Betty said, Mother, maybe God isn't through with you yet. And maybe he isn't. If there is one person that hears me talk about AA and what it has done for me, I feel like I'm glad that I'm still here. But I know that if I ask God, when I awaken in the morning, when I talk to him and ask him what he wants me to do, that there is a task for me that day. And when I go to bed at night and I thank him for that day, I know it's going to be all right. I told somebody the other day, you see, when I wake up in the morning, I sit up on the edge of the bed and I feel my pulse. And if I'm still alive, I thank God. And I truly thank God for this AA program. I thank God for Charlie Miller, who cared enough for me to pass it on. Winona went out to Western Kansas to work for her mother in a store shortly after I came in. And I somehow get along better with men. You know, men think logically, and women think emotionally. And it's good to hear the logic. But I love every one of you, and I'm just glad that you were here today. And I just love every one of you. Thank you.